You're with SBS Radio.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under six or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Bushfires across Australia seem to be worsening as each summer goes by each year. Yet, would the environmental landscape be different if more First Nations cultural traditional burning practices took place on country across the nation? Well, a new film explores this aspect of cultural heritage and has been produced by French filmmakers and is called Inferno Without Borders. I'm Kerrilee Harding and this is the NITV Podcast.
I think Australia as a nation has got a lot to gain from, I suppose, facilitating and enhancing what these guys and other communities that are outside of Fire Sticks are trying to apply to country, which is those that traditional knowledge and that traditional practice of innately knowing what country needs and what country requires. And it's coming from a position of where us as humans, we know when we undertake that role in these ecosystems and within the natural environment.
You just heard there from Chels Marshall, ecologist, and you'll hear more from Chels coming up soon in this podcast. Sandrine Chauhier is a French filmmaker and the director of Inferno Without Borders, a film which explores bushfires in Australia and the practice of traditional cultural burning on country. So, why did Sandrine decide to produce this film?
Well, it's been asked initially by France Télévisions, which I previously met because I did produce before that one another film called Pandemonium, which was a completely, it was also an Aboriginal story, but which was involving a Melanesian from Vanuatu. And then they loved the film, they bought it and screened it. And then since we have this Australian bushfire who became a worldwide news, and especially, New Caledonia, our neighbor here in the Pacific, in New Caledonia especially, they were very overwhelming. We were at this stage working onto another story in co-production, but it didn't happen. They had just said, drop this story and let's focus on what's happening now at your place, because we also are affected by your smog, it all come up here in New Caledonia. So let's make a story about it.
Why was it so important to Sandrine that First Nations voices were heard in this film?
Well, the important things that I wanted to be to show in is what really, really start is when I started looking at story about the coal burning, because I knew nothing about that. And I realized that the whole community that I knew around me didn't know either. We were misinformed. Or there was some confusion about the type of fire that we should do to fight the fire when it's here, between the back burning, between the heart of the eviction fire. There were a huge, massive confusion right here. And I thought for a moment, I said, okay, I don't want to bring up a story about around the victims only. Yes, there is a victim of the fires, and this is animal, this is environment, this is all of them. But what I really want to focus on is how we could have done better. Could we have stopped this catastrophic bushfire? What did we miss there? Why is that happening? And it didn't happen before, so furiously. And that's where everything starts, really. That's not my research.
So, what is the film Inferno Without Borders about? Sandrine, the director, gives us a brief synopsis.
It's about the prominent Aboriginal cultural burning run by certain leaders. It's about how could we have a control of the bushfires in a better way. It involves many actors, I would say, between the firefighters who do believe in coal burning, but they can't do it and they're not allowed to do it. They have to work with the Aboriginal community to do this. But this is not truly the type of fire that they do. The community around the victims strongly believe in it. The picture you see behind me is one of these perfect examples of this community in Murrin who do believe in cultural burning. And they did proceed to that cultural burning before the bushfire came along. And as you can see, the result is just right here. You have this small green patch right in the middle, and all around is completely burned. So that's what I tried to show in this film. And then, can we do better? Can we use the coal burning in the most traditional way?
So, how did Aboriginal woman Chels Marshall, ecologist, become involved in this film, Inferno Without Borders?
I think these guys tracked me down, hey? So I was hiding in my beautiful little patch of Australia on the north coast of New South, one of the biodiversity strongholds, I suppose, and we also got affected quite severely from the fires. I think through colleagues and other people, they tracked me down and we had a conversation and I thought, what they were trying to achieve, which was, providing an Indigenous voice, an Aboriginal voice to what happened during that time was really important. And so here I am. And my voice is on the film.
Chels Marshall has been practicing cultural burning with her family for many, many years now, and shares this knowledge with us.
Yeah, look, for me, it extends back to my childhood because I did watch, my uncles and my dad do some burning. I didn't really understand what it was about at the time. And, I just knew that they said that they were cleaning up country because it was in areas where we used to camp and get cultural materials, et cetera. Then I started to understand once I started working within government as a protected area manager that, you can't just go out and burn, that, there's legislation and there's rules and requirements around burning and, Aboriginal people that were practising these cultural burns, there was tended to be this negative connotation of, the arson attached with it, where you're not doing a burn that's attached to any legal or policy or procedural process. And I also knew that was wrong because cultural burning is very, very different to arson.
So working in protected areas, I then sort of moved into the space of Indigenous protected areas, which allowed a bit more for that integration of cultural knowledge systems into protected area management. And, you know, we now have nearly the majority of Australia is an Indigenous protected area, or the whole of Australia is really, but we have these Indigenous protected areas throughout the country. And yeah, in the majority of those, you know, the communities and the rangers are undertaking, cultural burn practices, and it's having, quite a lot of success and effect. And, you know, one of the key components is that, you know, Aboriginal people's culture is the environment, and, you know, any alteration to this entity is ultimately alteration and damage to Aboriginal people and our culture, you know, our cultural landscape, our place, our heritage, and you know, our associated knowledge and technology that comes with that, you know, and primarily, you know, our identity as First Nations people. And, you know, in watching and being involved in fire management for, you know, 20 or so years, I could see that there's a better way to do this.
And what impact does Chels Marshall think this film will have on Aboriginal communities across the country?
Look, I'm hoping that it will have a positive effect. So I know that a few other people that are in there talking are from the Fire Sticks Alliance, and these guys are doing some great things across the country, and there's some great leaders in that organisation. And I think Australia as a nation has got a lot to gain from, I suppose, facilitating and enhancing, what these guys and other communities that are outside of Fire Sticks are trying to apply to country, which is that traditional knowledge and that traditional practice of innately knowing what country needs and what country requires. And it's coming from a position of where us as humans, we know and we undertake that role in these ecosystems and within the natural environment as caretakers. And it's, you know, applying our inherent responsibility to be caretakers. And as I mentioned in the film, you know, this country has always had Aboriginal people doing and knowing and, you know, practicing, and it needs to have Aboriginal people continue doing that stuff in Australia. It's really important. The landscape needs us, and we need the landscape.
Sophie Lepowick is the writer of the film Inferno Without Borders, and actually started off making the film with no script.
Well, as I said, as we were going, we were getting more and more questions. Well, we were creating more and more questions to ask the next interviewees. and building the story at the end was really trying to put all those information in a way that people could receive them step by step. And we've been very lucky to have success stories within the documentary, where we could really show different views of different people and compare what would happen if we use one way or another way of managing the land. And so really when we were given all the information we needed to build the film. So we did collect everything, and then we put it together to try to communicate that to the audience. And we've been very lucky we've met all the people we needed, and we were given so much information that we just had to build it from there.
Laura Sivis is the producer of this film. and says she really enjoyed working on the production, and it all happened very quickly, as Laura explains.
I mean, Sandrine and Sophie had already worked together on Pandemonium, so, you know, we were working together towards this new project about the Niban women in Vanuatu. And Sandrine called me and she said, "Hey, do you want to make a documentary on the bushfires?" And I sort of was like, I'm not sure we should be going down there. It's like the fires are pretty intense. And so it sort of started off with that craziness of how do you make a documentary? We don't have time to raise the budget. We don't have, you know, it's all happening now. Will it still be going in a month? I mean, it had already been going for a few months at that stage. And so it was really that thing of, it all kicked off very, very quickly. I mean, we were having these conversations in the week before Christmas, and then the team was shooting a couple of weeks later. Although we'd had an offer for the finance, the money hadn't yet landed. We didn't have time to go to the funding bodies to ask for finance. So there was a little bit of private equity thrown in. A lot of the team basically contributed their time and their services to help get the film shot. So, yeah, it was very, very quick and very, very fast. And while I was sitting there waiting for my house to burn down, because I'm right on the bush and the fire wasn't that far away, the team, the camera crew all went out and started filming. And they managed to get it all, you know, the majority of it shot just as by the end of January, roughly, or early February, I think, was the last bits of filming. And then it was, you know, time to start doing the post-production and trying to work it all out. And then COVID hit. So it wasn't just about shooting the film. It was also about getting it finished in a pandemic environment. And, you know, as Sophie and Sandrine have pointed out, it was that organic process of different leads leading to different people to interview and trying to find what was the story to tell amongst all of the people that they'd interviewed. Because obviously, you know, they'd spoken to, you know, climate change experts, they'd spoken to, you know, the firemen and working out which story we thought was the most important one to tell. And then pulling it together and getting it delivered and getting it out into the festival circuit. And we're still hoping for our Australian premiere, which has been postponed now 3 times. But sometime soon, hopefully.
Well, that's about all for this episode of the NITV podcast series. Thank you to all our guests today for joining us. And to listen to more of the NITV podcast or the Our Story podcast, go to the NITV radio website or just go to where you get your podcasts from.
One in three of our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander bubs experience ear and hearing troubles that can make it hard for them to listen, learn, and talk to others. Hearing Australia's Happy program offers free, safe, and simple hearing checks for kids under 6 or not yet attending full-time school. Give your kids happy ears today. Call Hearing Australia on 134 432 or visit hearing.com.au today.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.